The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is day two of this first of the new year, 2017, day of Sesshin here at Mountain Gate. Circumstances prevented us from having a Teisho yesterday. But then part of our practice really is about moving with circumstances, and especially about being really clear so that we can move in appropriate ways with circumstances. This is what our practice brings forth for us if we go deeply into it. And we'll say a little bit more about this in a minute, I think. In the meantime, I'd like to share with you a very special book. It was written and illustrated by a friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, Richard Wehrman, who is an exquisite illustrator and, it turns out, rather an excellent poet as well. His longtime Zen practitioner. We were in Sesshin together many, many times at the Rochester Zen Center. And he is now working to support himself in his retirement by writing these poems and publishing them. And I would recommend them to anybody who's interested. You can find him on Facebook. I think all you have to do is Google his name, Richard Wehrman, W-E-H-R-M-A-N, and you'll find all about him. He was, for many years, the premier and the recognized premier illustrator on the East Coast, or in the eastern half of the United States. And he probably would have been throughout the United States because his illustrations are quite exquisite. And we have one of his poems illustrated, framed, print that he sent hanging on a wall here at Mountain Gate. And I'd like to share with you something from a book called Light Was Everywhere. This is one of his books. It's got some rather nice comments on the back from, among other people, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who's a therapist and anthropologist, I believe. Anyway, this particular poem is called Attraction. Who would have thought we would make it so far? We who have failed at everything? So many things pulled us like magnets, yet something was stronger than attraction. Everywhere we went, though we tried otherwise, this was where we returned. Being here, this was being home. One more time. Who would have thought we would make it so far? We who have failed at everything. This seems to be the American mind state in general. It's very, very few people who don't feel like failures, who don't feel insecure, who don't feel like they're not worthy. And as a matter of fact, it was rather interesting that the Dalai Lama, apparently in the Tibetan culture, people are nurtured in ways that they never do feel less than. But there's something about our child-rearing tactics, most of them, at least among most people in the United States, where people grow up with negative self-image. And when the Dalai Lama was told that, he was shocked. It took him quite a while to comprehend what that even meant. And yet it's rampant in America. And it's rampant among those of us who do Zen practice. We get to a certain point, sometimes not very far in our practice, and we feel like, I don't have what it takes. Interestingly enough, the Buddha himself ran into the same thing after he dealt with pain, after he dealt with visions of very seductive visions, and then when Mara, the Buddhist devil, was taunting him, trying to pull him off his practice, the last most powerful thing in his arsenal of weapons was to say, you don't have what it takes. And that's a very, very powerful force for people. You don't have what it takes to come to awakening. You're not worthy. Well, obviously the Buddha proved otherwise, both to Mara and to the rest of the universe. And so did countless generations of realized practitioners over the centuries, over the millennia, more than 2,500 years of people practicing Buddhism, practicing Zen, which of course means meditation. And yet, here in America, we face these same challenges that the Buddha faced. And we can take heart in the fact that we're in good company. Most of us have met with a certain amount of seductive visions or ideas. I must say that myself, I designed a heck of a lot of gorgeous furniture in my earlier years of practice, some of which I actually built. And then there is the pain, sitting long hours in unmoving positions, and we can have challenges with our knees, with our backs, and so on. And particularly if we develop tension, with which many people do, particularly as they're starting practice, we seem to feel like we've got to push somehow with our bodies in order to go deep in our practice, which is an unfortunate misconception. We develop pain simply from the tension, but we also can develop pain from contorting our bodies in positions where they aren't quite ready to be put into. There are people who, buying into the traditional Asian belief that the only real way to practice Zen is in the full lotus posture, there's been many a knee replacement required down the line in later years as a result of that misunderstanding. We have only to remember Yayiko Iwasaki, the young Japanese woman who was dying of TB, who came to increasingly profound awakening experiences day after day after day, the last 3 weeks that she was alive. And you have to know, if you know anything about tuberculosis, that she was coughing up blood, that she was fevered, that she was weak. There was any possibility of her sitting in full lotus for extended periods of time, and then somebody's out to lunch and doesn't know what TB is really like. The posture is helpful, but it's certainly not a requirement. We use whatever posture works, and that can even be, if necessary, lying down. And I've known people who have had to do their Zazen in that way. But it's our mind that is doing the Zazen, not our bodies. It's important to remember that the focus of our mind is important. And we can do that under many different circumstances. Our mind is actually quite a bit more powerful than we think it is. And Zazen, our commitment, our determination in our Zazen can prove that. Who would have thought we would make it so far, we who have failed at everything? So many things pulled us like magnets, yet something was stronger than attraction. Something was stronger than attraction. We sit here day after day, year after year, working to deepen our practice, working to continually focus our mind and search ever more deeply, because there is a sense that there is something more that we can realize, something important, something we can return to, something that is eminently freeing. And all of that is true. Lured away by all the tantalizing things that are available to us in this modern world, clouded by our conditioning, our assumptions, like the one just mentioned, about ourselves, we lose track of that most precious thing. And yet somewhere, some tiny little voice is calling us, saying, return. You need to return. Before you die, you need to return. And so we sit. And so we seek out a teacher, a guide, to help direct us in this extensive search. And if we continue and work carefully, increasingly attentively, deeply searching, we will without doubt return to that. So many things pulled us like magnets, yet something was stronger than attraction. Everywhere we went, though we tried otherwise, this was where we returned. Only we didn't realize it. We're right here now. There's nowhere else we can be. It is only that conditioning, only those assumptions about ourselves, only those ideas that keep us from recognizing it. And this is why using our mind is so important and why using our body is much more irrelevant. Because as we extend the out-breath, what we are doing is training ourselves to let go into the present moment. And this is vital because the present moment is all we have. And it is in this present moment that we can awaken, not at some future point, but right here now. And the more we can be right here now, truly, deeply present, open, not fixed in any ideas about what we're looking at or what we're looking for or where we're at or where we haven't gotten to or whether we can or can't. That's where we can find it. Not just find it, open to it, because it's there. Being here, this was being home. Who would have thought we would make it so far? We who have failed at everything. So many things pulled us like magnets, yet something was stronger than attraction. Everywhere we went, though we tried otherwise, this was where we returned. Being here, this was being home. And the following poem is equally important. It's called The Moment of Surrender. Now. It's always now when the only possibility arises and whatever it is you don't want presents itself. The cringing ring of the phone, the dark visitor at the door, the irritation of your keys locked against you inside the house, whatever the face or the flavor or the presence of what you push away, you can be sure of this, your old familiar pain will begin again. If you cannot pause, as you reach for your gun, your old and angry words, the hammer and rusty nails you use to bar the door, and remember, this is the moment of surrender. This is the moment of surrender. We go through our lives, things happen, we can get frustrated, irritated, angry, annoyed, ready to shut some situation or person or thing out of our lives from then on. But listen to what he is saying. Now. It's always now when the only possibility arises. And whatever it is you don't want presents itself. This is the moment of surrender. We have that choice. We can surrender into the felt sense of the moment. Be there 100%, and the problem dissolves. The door may still be locked and the keys may still be inside, but it'll be simple and clear how to resolve that. And you won't need to resort to guns and anger, nasty words, self-recrimination, and all the other things we do to not feel our frustration. Who is it, anyway, who feels these things? Who is it that doesn't think they're sufficient? Who is it that feels unlovable? Who is it that feels anxious? This is the big question. Search deeply. Search deeply and find out who you really are. You've got all the tools necessary to do that. You've got a wonderful environment here at Mountain Gate in which to continue. Like-minded Dharma brothers and sisters here to help support you. There's nothing that stands in your way except your own ideas about it. Set those aside. Make a pact with yourself. I'm not going to buy that for these 6 days. I'm going to try something different. See what's outside that idea. See what's beyond that self-image. And then lose yourself in the present moment through extending the out-breath. Through an openness, a willingness to let go, surrender. This is a rather short teisho, but I think that what has been said is important not to dilute. So now what's important is to get back to work, dive in, let go, let go, let go. Be curious. Be open. Become that extended out breath over and over and over and over again. Thank you for listening. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.